We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
Growing up in Togo for me was a great opportunity, and we had a lot of fun. We had a lot of different things than you do here in the States. And honestly, a lot of our fun stories have to do with our animals. We had all kinds of different animals, and we had all kinds of monkeys growing up, which are quite little entertainers. But you do have to kind of figure out what to do with them and how to interact. I remember my twin sister used to go and take gum or candy or whatever out to our monkey, and they love any type of people food, mashed potatoes, they love popcorn, anything like that. But she would take a lot of times gum, she would chew it up, get all the flavor, and then she would go out to the monkey because he didn't care. It was gum, it was candy to him. So she would go and stand at the tree, and she would just open her mouth, and he would kind of climb down a little bit, and he would get it right out of her mouth and pop it right into his. He'd just take his little fingers and take it out. And she decided that one day, you know, I'm just going to do this. This is normal routine. And she goes and she opens her mouth and he starts to climb down. And for whatever reason, the hand thing wasn't going to work. So he decided to put his whole head into her mouth and retrieve the gum that way. She made sure next time she put her hand out and always from that point on had her hand out with the gum. Another time... Before I tell the story, you have to understand that in Togo, sometimes you have to create your own entertainment. So one day, I guess he was bored, so my brother JJ decided that our monkey needed to have a new experience, a new taste. And so he decided to take a fireball and open it and give it to the monkey. And of course, the monkey, he's thinking, you know, this is going to be great. This is like candy. This is awesome. And it's a big thing of candy. So he pops it in his mouth. And at first, it's okay. But then, if you understand about monkeys that they have like little pouches on the side of their face. Well, sure enough, he got it caught in the side of his little pouch on one of his cheeks. And you could see as the fireball started getting hotter and hotter, his eyes were getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and little tears just started coming around, and he started jumping around trying to get this thing out and pushing and pushing, and he could not, for the life of him, get it out. And we just enjoyed our experience with this monkey and his experience. And finally, he did eventually get it out, and he took it and he threw it as hard as he could, as far as he could. He would never touch another piece of red candy ever again. He learned his lesson. He wasn't going to touch it. You know, for me, when I look back at my time growing up in Togo, those are, you know, great stories. They created a lot of fun in our lives, and they look, when I look back, they're great memories. But the biggest thing that I remember are not those funny stories. I remember when I saw life change happen in front of me. I remember that there was one day, and my dad, it was funny because my dad was so busy that typically he wouldn't sit down. Almost every single meal that he sat down, he always had to get up and go to talk to someone. Someone wanted help. Someone wanted to ask a question. He never started and finished a meal at the table. And it was constant that people were coming to him and asking him questions or things that they needed. And I remember one day, there was a man that came to our door, and he had traveled about 4 hours on a bus. And in Togo, they make, at that time anyways, they made about $1 to $2 a day. And this man had traveled up from up north, even more remote and more of a poor area. And he had come, purchased a ticket, and he came to ask my dad just one question. He wanted to know how he could have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. When you see that kind of desperation to know who Christ is and what he can do for them, that makes an impact on you, and it made an impact on me. And I got to watch and see as people lived lives that were truly transformed and changed because Jesus was a part of their life now. You know, when I grew up and I saw that, it made an impact, and I started to question, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And God showed me, hey, I want you to be a missionary. I prayed for a long time, thought it was I was younger. I was like 12 at the time, and I thought I was supposed to know, you know, my whole life plan at that point. And I kept praying, and God eventually said, "I want you to be a missionary. I want you to come back." And that was a lot. That was a great learning experience. It was a great time. But really, for me, the biggest life lesson and memory that made a huge impact on me happened when I was 15. We actually came back to the States. We were in Jacksonville, Florida, and we came back for furlough. We were visiting churches and just telling them what God had been doing. And I started to get sick, and I couldn't figure out what was wrong. Kept going to the hospital and doctors and things like that. And it was about a 3-month period. And at the end of that 3 months, I eventually found out that I had cancer, and that I'd have to go through treatment, a year of treatment. I was the typical cancer kid. I lost all my hair. I lost my eyebrows, my eyelashes. I remember when walking from this stage to that door would make me want to collapse in exhaustion. I remember being in the hospital and having so many mouth sores that I couldn't even talk. I didn't want to smile. I didn't want to do anything because it hurt. And I remember that time very vividly, but I also remember the verse God gave to me. It was 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. And he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." I remember crying out to God and saying, I don't know how to do this, God. I don't have the strength. And every single time, he would just give me this overwhelming peace that he was there. That was the weakest time I've ever been in my life. But I learned a lot. I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about the world. And the most important thing is I learned a lot about God. And I found out that verse was true, that even though I was weak, God was strong. And even when I didn't want to smile, he gave me a smile. God did that for me. And now I have the biggest opportunity and the biggest blessing. I get to go and share that with the people of Togo. As you saw in the video, in Togo they believe in voodoo, in witchcraft, and spiritism. This is a belief that consumes their entire life. From the time they're born to the time they die, they live with it surrounding them. Anaho in Togoville is actually a strategic location because this is the center of voodoo. This is, if you want to find the capital of voodoo in West Africa, you would go to Anaho. That means that we have a great opportunity to really go inside Satan's territory and say, this is not a place you're going to have anymore. And God's doing amazing things. And people are responding. The flip side of this life in fear of being surrounded by voodoo is that the people are so open. The Togolese people are ready to hear. They're excited to hear. They're open to listening. You can have a conversation with pretty much anybody from on the street to in the marketplace, just walking down, wherever. You can have a conversation about, hey, do you know what heaven is? Have you ever heard of the name Jesus Christ? Even today, 9 out of 10 people in Togo have never heard of the name of Jesus Christ. That astounds me because my parents have been there for over 25 years working and building churches and talking to people, but still there's so many that haven't heard. For me, now I get to go and work with those people. I'm going to have 2 primary ministries. The first ministry is going to be the women's ministry, and that's pretty simple. Start with salvation, helping them know who Christ is. And sometimes that takes a little bit of a conversation. They've never heard of this Jesus Christ, never heard of the Bible or Genesis or anything like that. So it can take a little bit of a conversation, and we want them to truly understand, not just make a pledge or raise their hand or, you know, something that they can't truly say, yes, I made that decision. We want them to understand who Christ is and have them make that decision of becoming followers of him. So once they're saved, then they'll join a small group, and that small group will meet one time during the week. It provides accountability and encouragement, and then that small group will serve in the church or in the community as well. And that's going to be one of my ministries. I get to go and work with ladies there. You know, you kind of wonder, hey, what does that look like in the long term? What can be produced out of that? Well, I'll give you an example. When I was growing up, my dad challenged a single lady named Jane. He challenged her to go and find five young people, young females, that she could mentor, that she could just pour into, kind of like Christ did, just pour her life into them, work with them, give them wisdom, listen, help them with whatever. Today, four out of those five women are pastors' wives and leaders of churches and help their husbands with the church. That's what happens when you go and you invest in people in Togo. And that's one of the things that I'll get to do. Another example of kind of what happens with Togolese, especially once they become Christians, it's amazing to see how much changes, because their whole world has been this world based in fear, and there's so much that changes that people around them start to notice. One of the first things they'll ask is, when can I go tell my family? Will you come with me to tell my family in my village that I grew up in? That's the first thing they want to know. Hey, will you come help me? Can you tell me how to do this so I can let my whole family and village know about what God's done in my life? When Nouvelle Vie was starting to getting started, and it was, you know, getting these people that these young people that had become Christians, there was a group of them, and they were going to the public high school in Anaho. And one day my brother had a conversation with the principal there, and the principal was talking with him about one of the guys, and JJ goes, yeah, Malolo, that's one of my guys. That's a guy that goes to Nouvelle Vie. And the principal, he just kind of looked at him and gave him a smile and was like, Yeah, I know Malolo. JJ was like, really? You know Malolo? I mean, you're a principal of a big high school, and you know one of my kids. And he goes, yeah, I know Malolo, and I know Latte, and I know little Victor. And he started naming all the people that went to Nouvelle Vie. They had stood out, and they had been so distinct that even the principal noticed that there was something different about that group of kids. That's what happens when Christ comes and changes your life, and it's radical. We get to experience that. We get to hear their stories. We get to see their change. We get to be a part of that. Sometimes you think that the small things that you think are just, oh, that's just, you know, a small thing, especially here in the States, we would think, oh, that's just a, you know, a little thing. And you go over there, and it's humongous. One day, JJ was traveling to Lome, that's about 30 minutes outside Anaho, and he had taken one of his guys, Malolo, into Lome specifically for him to get glasses. He had some trouble in school and figured out that it was just a vision problem, and Malolo doesn't have a very supportive family, so he would have never ever been able to get those glasses and to be able to come and to Lome to get that prescription or anything. So this was a huge thing to him. And he was like, okay, you know, your Christmas gift will be eyeglasses this year. So he went in, got them, was heading back towards Anaho. And anytime that we're with a young person or you know, someone we're trying to mentor, we try to speak into their lives and try to hear where they're at. So JJ looked at him and goes, Malolo, what are you thinking about? And Malolo, he had been kind of quiet, a little bit unusual for him, and he just kind of looked at JJ and he goes, you know what? I'm just thinking about how much you love me. It was just a pair of eyeglasses, something that we can pick up in a lot of places here in the States, but it was huge to him. And it wasn't just that. He was thinking about how much you love me, not just this, but everything that JJ had invested in him. That's what I'm going to get to do. Invest in the young lives of the people of Togo. My second ministry will be to the kids.
We have a Courtyard Kids on Wednesday afternoon. That's a Bible-based character development program. And that's, you know, Bible songs, Bible stories, a game at the end. And it's a lot of fun. The kids absolutely love it. And they truly, truly get involved. In Togo, 40% of the population is the age of 14 and under. So we have a huge group that we can go and work with. 40%. It's a huge number. But it also means that we have so many opportunities. Everywhere you go in Togo, you can see kids and gather kids. They want to know that someone loves them. So you show them that you love them, and it not only makes a difference in their lives, but in the lives of the family around them. I'd like to end with just a quick story about a little girl named Valerie. And Valerie was just 4 years old when she first came to Courtyard Kids, and she was a little bit tired, so she actually fell asleep at the back. Now, Valerie, being only four, did have her siblings there, but it's not unusual in Togo to come with family or to come with neighbors, even if you're a young child, to come with those siblings. It's a community group society. It's not as individualistic as we are in the States. So it's very normal for them to come with their family or neighbors to a grouping like that. So Valerie came. She was a little bit tired, fell asleep at the back. And at the end, Naka, the lady that was teaching, saw little Valerie was asleep, so she went and she picked her up. And she carried her home, walked her home. Got to the door and met Louise. Louise is Valerie's mother. Louise was standing there with her two friends right there, and she started to ask Naka a question. Why? Like, really, what's the reason? Why? Why would you walk my daughter home? Like, pick her up and carry her home. You could have just, you know, woken her up, sent her home with the neighborhood kids or her siblings. That would have totally been acceptable. Why did you carry my daughter home? And Naka started to talk about Christ and the difference that she had inside of her. And Louise started listening. She wanted to hear. Louise, her two friends were standing there, and one decided as soon as she heard about Christ, oh, this is not for me, and she went home completely. The other decided, I'm going to actually stand at the gate because I don't want to be too close to that Christian. But Louise was ready, and soon she became the first person in her family to accept Christ. A little after that, her kids and her husband also accepted Christ. Her husband's name is Simone. And Simone, before he got saved, he had actually been deeply with black magic and a deep practitioner of that. If you went inside his home, you would have seen idols all around his home. You would have seen that all throughout the compound, all around his area of his house. But when he got saved, something internally had changed, and so he knew something in his external world also had to change. So on a Sunday morning, before he was supposed to get baptized, he actually had his wife and his kids come outside their home and stand outside. And he went inside, and he started to pull down all the idols. Took them outside, and he built a fire, and he burned them so that they were completely gone. Gone from his life, gone from his home. There's no more evidence in his home of that anymore. Now those kids get to live in a home not ruled by fear, but by freedom in Christ. All because one little girl fell asleep at Courtyard Kids. As I said, 40% of the population of Togo is the age of 14 and under. But that is 100% of Togo's future. We can reach 40% of those kids. We can reach those kids. We can reach the future of Togo. And I know that God is moving in Togo, West Africa. He's moving in the hearts and the lives of the people there. And so I would ask that you pray with me that God would continue to work and the people would be open. I would covet those prayers.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.